This podcast contains adult themes and controversial ideas. Some content featured on this podcast may be triggering to those with a history of trauma. Listener's discretion and an open mind is highly advised. Welcome to Our Erotic Mind, a podcast aimed at taking a provocative look into the most taboo parts of the human mind. I'm your host, Tula, a sex re-educator and erotic artist. I started this podcast in hopes of building a deeper understanding of the world around us. By starting conversations with people around the globe about the human condition and sexuality, I hope to destigmatize parts of the human psyche that have long been silenced and shamed. Join us as we seek to ask the difficult questions and to get to the depths of our erotic mind. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy. Welcome, listeners, to Our Erotic Mind. Today I have Etheria Devine, who is a multimedia artist with a focus on the sensual self, joining us. Originally born in Finland, she is now based in London, where she works as a brand designer and a sensual artist. I invited Etheria to join me on this podcast because I have been such a big fan of her work since I first came across it in late 2020. I was inspired by her approach, as her artistic message strongly reflects my own. I identified with what she was doing so much, and I wanted to hear more about what brought her to such a confident place within her own sexual identity. As it turns out, her story and mission was much more like my own than I thought. I've been honored to speak with her and feel lucky that because of our shared passion for sensual empowerment, we have been able to collaborate on this project. Her support has given me so much inspiration to further my work on Our Erotic Mind, and I want to give her a very warm welcome. So welcome, Etheria Devine, to Our Erotic Mind. Welcome, Etheria.
Hello. First of all, thank you so much for having me, Tula. It's so exciting to be here. So yeah, love the intro. It's all spot on.
I'm really happy to have you. Etheria is has been helping me with the branding, actually, on this podcast. So it's been really great to have worked with you in an artistic way a little bit. She did the logo and the branding for everything. And so this video or podcast is actually almost kind of sponsored by you. It's a wonderful donation that she's done for us. So thank you again so much for doing that. So again, welcome. And if you can, tell us just a little bit about you and your work as an artist.
Absolutely. First, I want to say, I am so happy to be able to have worked with you on the branding and a visual identity for Our Erotic Mind. And it's a cause that I believe in. I think should be spoken more about all of those things. So it's just been a great thing. So thanks for trusting me on that. But going into kind of a bit about myself, would you like to overall in general or about specifically about my art? Or
Maybe just a like overall general picture of who you are and a little bit more specifically even about your work.
Amazing. Okay, so right, like you said in the intro, right now I'm located in London, UK, but I'm originally born and grew up in Finland. Connection to nature a lot, and I moved actually then to the UK to study graphic and media design, where I then continued my creative path of alongside being an artist as well getting my degree in graphic and media design, and together then that has then created Etheria Devine. But throughout my life I've always been exploring different mediums, whether that is like drawing, photography, sculpture, or just any way of creating art.
When did you start with Etheria? When did you actually begin that process and start that informative exploration with Etheria.
Yeah, I would like to say Etheria was like born in June 2020. It was one of my hundreds of self-initiated projects. And it was during COVID, the pandemic, and, you know, I graduated in 2019. And during kind of that time, you don't really have much time to do at the project outside the ones that you're doing at university. And it was a while and I hadn't done anything. And there were, during that time, during 2020 of COVID and everything, there was a lot of insight coming into my mind, and I felt the urge to go and explore my sexuality and relationship to my own body. And that's pretty much how Etheria then was, Etheria was born, where I created this whole different side of me, a safe place where I could explore. And here we are now.
How would you define your work as Etheria? Is it specifically an exploration of yourself, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would like to say it's like a, if I were to describe it in one word, it's healing. It's a way of me kind of exploring what's going on in my life, whether that is with sexuality, with emotions, and expressing it through, you know, because I think also before Etheria, I always did my project, but I never had the platform to share, because I think art is to be shared. And once I then created Etheria, my Instagram account, I started attracting all these like-minded people and who encouraged me to further explore. I guess healing on a personal level, but also, you know, it's a journey together with the people following me. I don't know what someone might feel looking at my art, so it's like a collaborative thing, I guess.
Did you expect Etheria to end up getting to this point where you really define yourself or Etheria as a sensual artist, or was it just kind of a thing that happened over time?
I would like to say deep inside, I knew that it was more than what it started out as. I mean, I started out as a foot model, going into sex work in general has interested me for a while, but I think as well, it's something that I've been kind of scared to explore. And I just kept on getting these signs to start exploring. And I think I got loads of like people talking about being a foot model during the pandemic, as many people went into that sort of sex work or OnlyFans and all of this. And that kind of sparked the question within me, feet being one of the body parts that I wasn't really connected to, made me question. So I like to have like something I explore. So I was exploring now my relationship to feet, but also kind of exploring what it meant to be a foot model, finding this community. And from there, I kind of deep inside then knew that being a foot model will be temporary. And I think something will awaken within me from that experience. And that's what kind of happened. And here we are now. So it was a surprise, but it kind of wasn't.
Is that where you mostly draw your ideas from as an artist? Is that initial inspiration of being a foot model? Also, is it related to like foot fetish, if it's connected to kind of this very sexual fetish? Or is it more artistic? Like, was it more as a just a, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it was both of them. I think I went into it in a kind of open mind and being like, okay, I love researching and stuff. And the more I, you know, got, the more I read, the more doors opened, the more like, oh my gosh, this is a whole world of everything. And, you know, I go into it with an open mind, not really knowing what I'm getting myself into, talking then to the people who are in the foot fetish community, who got a foot fetish, but also talking to the models, talking to the sex workers, also talking to people who are in the art scene. I think it's a mix of everything, but also starting to, you know, there are specific things that people with foot fetish find very sexual or arousing. But then as a person who doesn't have foot fetish, I kind of also started exploring my relationship to feet, and is there a way that I can find feet like arousing, or a way of, so it is kind of where art, both of those meet and creating then this art. I can't control what someone finds, you know, you never know what someone will think of your art.
What did you learn about foot fetish going through this process, and like what kind of things did you pick up from that community that you didn't have access to before?
I think the open-mindedness and community in general, I was added then to like these UK foot modeling group chats on Instagram, and kind of I realized how much everyone within the kind of then kink scene keeps is together, is there to support one another. And I mean, and also within the kind of having clients, I don't know if I like the word of use clients, but yeah, having clients and them also being very supportive of you. Of course, I kind of learned a lot about setting boundaries and what I like, and, you know, understanding that, you know, this is what do I want to share as a foot model. And also knowing that my speciality, my kind of work will attract a certain type of people who might have a foot fetish, but also are interested in arts. And that's what I kind of started attracting. And I was just surprised by how supportive everyone was. And I felt finally like I found the crowd who were there to experience my art. And, you know, even that I slowly then started to shift away from foot modeling to explore my full body. This was all inspired by people who have been following me or be my clients. And they were like, you know what, like, I really think that you should further explore the rest of your body. Like, we believe that you have potential for it. And yeah, I guess the support from this. And I think there's always such so much fear. Of course, there's also there's a good and bad in everything. But I was surprised how beautiful experiences and interactions I've had with people.
When you went into this, did you expect sex as a part of that process?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I think because it's such, again, it is, you open a door and it's like so much going. And I think that's why as well, like I wasn't really sure of what all of these experiences would awaken within me. You know, it was, you know, first of all, just having my feet online and photographing my feet, but slowly, you know, having the face reveal and everything, I wasn't aware how much this would affect me, like
as a whole,
psychologically as well. The things I had to go through, and you know, all these thoughts of, you know, am I wife material or not after doing this? Will I get a job or not? Or how do people see me? All these things arise, and it was a lot bigger than made myself believe, but I'm so happy I've gone through. It's been life transforming for sure.
I find that when I started sex work as well, that it was very, very informative because, like you said, it opens this huge door where you think that maybe it's going to be more sexually inclined, and then all of a sudden you realize that it has way more to do with everything else than it has to do with sex. It's like, it is very life changing because not only do you start to accept your sexuality, but you kind of, or at least in my experience, I started to accept my identity and all parts of my identity that were linked to sexuality, but not explicitly sexual. So that sounds like a very similar experience, no?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. And I don't know how you could have prepared yourself. You can't really, and you don't really know, you know, what experience something might trigger something else for. And I think that's the beauty of it. And it constantly keeps on evolving. You know, you even talking with any person or someone commenting, you never know what that might awaken within you. So I think that's a beautiful thing. But it can be overwhelming at times as well. And that's why, you know, talking to people who are in the sex work or do erotic art or anything in this kink scene, I think it's important to just talk as well, because it can be overwhelming.
Yeah. Do you consider what you do to be sex work, or would you consider it to be art? And where does that line, where do you draw that line?
I would say right now I'm not doing any, it is a hard one. I would say right now from the top of my head, no, I'm not doing right now anything. When I do offer services, when I did offer services, or when I'm thinking about possibly going back to, I might be going back to having a Patreon or OnlyFans, maybe then it goes back to sex work. I think it's a hard one. It is a hard one.
Because it's hard to define too.
Exactly. Because,
what is sex work and what is?
Exactly. Because I am naked on the internet. I am sharing my thoughts and that. You know, if I then put it on OnlyFans and put a price to it, then it is, but I'm doing it for free now, but you know what I mean? So
yeah.
Is it sex work when I'm earning something from it? I still have my boundaries of what I share and I don't. I mean, there are services that I don't do now, but if someone asks me to, you know, are you still doing foot modeling or is this something that you could do for me, I probably would do it still.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a...
And yeah, it is interesting because from your message is really strongly about accepting your body and accepting your own sensuality. And almost the message that I get from it is that you're doing it to explore yourself and encouraging people to explore themselves. And so it's more of a process which is happening internally rather than as like a interactive sexual experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a question about that would be like, do you feel that having your own sexual identity is separate from doing sex work or having a sexual interaction? And does that kind of define where you separate your work?
I don't think I separate it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all, which is quite ironic because I then have very separate, you know, my design work that I do and I have then my art that I do, but it's all me in general, whether I do. And sometimes, you know, like the past month, something I have been having my photography or on a hold slightly, but instead of photography, I've been called to explore movement, sensual movement. And I performed my first burlesque performance, which was all about expressing, stripping in front of total strangers. And this is something I felt called to do at that moment where I then share it at that moment. I don't think it is separate, in any way. I'm just sharing it at that moment. And it's like, the people who follow me now are just exploring and experiencing my art kind of live, if that makes sense, as I'm exploring whatever comes to me throughout my life.
It's funny because if you think of burlesque and you maybe look at it from a more conservative perspective, people might say, oh, you're naked on the stage. That's sex work. Whereas at least in my experience, and probably from what it sounds like in your experience, being naked on a stage has nothing to do with being a sexual person. And it's interesting to draw those lines because do you feel that that was a sexual experience for you, or do you feel like you were more just expressing yourself sensually?
I think it's all of it. There are moments like when more of my act was more about, I was performing a kind of a ritual where I released these limiting beliefs of the past, the thoughts of slut shaming and everything that I have experienced throughout my teenage years, releasing all that. In that act there in the beginning, there wasn't anything very sexual. But when we go into the main act, when I start to feel myself to represent, like there was quite something like a rebirthing thing. And towards the end, after my performance, I then got into my corset, my hybrids, into that very confident, sexy, sensual energy, which I felt very kind of, well, might I say, like aroused by my own presence. So I think it's not this or that all the time. Like, people can see that sex work, and I think it's more about like, what do you see it as yourself? Because some people might see that if you're naked as sex work, but you know, even texting to someone about sexual things or sexual experiencing is sex work. So I guess it's what you define it as, what sex work for you.
Yeah. And sometimes people do this even as a spare time, like they do it in their spare time. So then it's like, well, that's not sex work, but when does it become sex work in a sense? Like, do you get paid and then that's when it becomes sex work?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you find that these elements of sensuality have crossed over into your work as a brand designer or in any other kinds of your work?
I mean, 100%. I mean, here and now I design the branding for Our Erotic Mind, which is exactly the kind of that's why I did it as well, because I was like, oh, like both of my passions come together, and like, yeah, sex, intimacy, design. And that's kind of, I have, my art is, you know, I don't, unlearn or not tap into my design ideas when I do my art. It's all together. Mm-hmm. But we live in a world where I still believe that, you know, sadly, not everyone's going to handle take it so well. And, you know, do they want their brand designer? They're going to work on a project to, be performing burlesque in the week or strip being naked on the internet. Sadly, everyone might not be okay with that, but I am hoping to be able to, this is a strength of mine that I do, and I can bring to the table all these experiences. And, one day I hope that, they can be, I can just be me without having to separate this or this and hide it in a way.
Yeah, this is such a good thing because I feel like there's so many, I mean, basically the whole world just separates sexuality from everything that they do. And there's not that many people. And this is why I really love your work, is that you really embody your own sexuality as a whole part of your being. It's not separate. And I think, like I said, so many people are separating their sexuality from whatever it is that they do, whether it's like business or finance or whatever. Psychology, there's such a big separation from the two, and it feels that since quarantine that people have kind of shed this layer of protection between their professional selves and their personal selves, and that's where I've seen this kind of melding of eroticism and humanity with professionalism. But yeah, I find that really interesting that you speak about these two completely separate things right now and trying to meld them together. That's, again, that's why I really love your work. I think you're doing really great things. So
well, thank you. Yeah, I totally on the point that you said, and it's both that you still live in a world where that is separate. It is separate, and there's a certain way that you should show up to work or a certain, but you know, I believe that, you know, to be the change we want to see, and, you know, as a self-employed person, as own boss, like I could not care less. I think it's a strength for you to be doing all these different things. You have a perspective. I know that if you're in sex work, you most likely are very good with boundaries or speaking your mind about things. Like, you know, it brings other characteristics into a person. It's not a bad thing, but because of the situation, they're currently separate, also for safety reasons, but I do hope one day to be able to just be me.
Yeah. Do you feel better when you've been able to embody your own sensuality in your everyday life and in your work?
Oh my gosh. It's like, as it's been life-changing, I feel like myself. And I think throughout my whole life, I've been, you know, a lot of people search as an artist, there are many people just trying out different mediums, just trying to find their style, and people just say keep on, you know, experimenting, keep on doing. And it wasn't until last summer when I just felt like this, I had a lot of creative energy, sexual energy within me, and I had nowhere to direct it. And I actually came out as pansexual last year, just before Etheria was born, and that triggered something. And I also had a sexual experience with another person where I think they told me to not hold back. And I think that also, that everything together, and Etheria was born like within weeks after that. Mm-hmm. And it just opened the whole side of me that I've been kind of hiding or what I'm maybe being ashamed of. And I just said, fuck it, we're doing this. What am I like? Why am I waiting? And it's been, you know, everything just felt right. If everything was coming into place beautifully, the name and, you know, meeting you, working on this project, it's just like I never felt more connected to myself than when I truly embrace, you know, myself as a whole, and sexuality and sex and intimacy. All of this is a part of the human experience.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same with that. It was the same experience for me when I started doing gamming and started doing like any kinds of video. I finally felt like myself, and everything that was prevented from happening in my life before it just felt like everything came so easily. Now that I had like embodied my own sexuality, it's just all of a sudden these things start working and life starts working. And
yeah,
I truly think that that is something that needs to happen for people. Do you think that if people were to accept their sexuality more, that their lives would, I mean, that's a hard thing to say, that their lives would be happier, but that life would maybe come a little bit easier, that they would have a better, I don't know, process with their life?
Well, I do believe that 100%. I mean, that's kind of why everyone will have a different experience. Not everyone is called to do camming or to do foot on this scale. Like, that's what we felt called to do. Yeah. And we followed that urge. Whether that is just doing something alone or reflecting about your own thoughts, like I did about my hatred towards Steve. I truly believe that when we tap into or start questioning our sexuality or desires or things we like, and just looking at it and exploring without judgment, being open-minded and not so afraid, because there is so much, it's such a taboo and kind of dark, straight away when someone hears maybe, you know, sex work or erotica, even erotica is such like a word
taboo,
that people
secret.
Like, exactly, yeah. It's dark and like, it's like, no, just take a look at it. And I think when we do look into whatever sex means to us, or sexuality or our own desires or kink, we will find parts of ourselves that we probably had hidden away, and when we connect to that, I do believe that our lives will improve.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different for everyone.
Yeah.
And that's why I share, and I hope that my art awakens something. I can't, you know, whether that is my spit in my mouth, you know, someone might be revolted by it, someone might be disgusted. That's one of my favorite things, where I was exploring spit and I never thought I liked it. But then I filmed that and I was like, god damn, like, I like that.
Very arousing.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I'm surprised.
Exactly. And I think that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Do you? Yeah.
So you said that you were moderately disgusted by feet when you first started modeling. Is that true? Or?
Well, for me, maybe before that, like, feet was something I just thought that they were weird. I thought it was like hands with short fingers and it just was weird, like, but I didn't realize that this was actually not something that, minus that weird part that I thought that they looked like hands without short fingers. The disgust actually came from outside of me, from like what society, like, I actually didn't have a really problem with feet. I mean, walking barefoot my entire life every summer, you know, I love the sensation of it. It was just that majority of people, you know, hide their feet and thought that feet are disgusting. And that made me think that I think they're disgusting. But when I actually questioned my belief on this, I was like, I don't actually think that. But it took me, I had to actually sit down and question that. Is this something I believe, or has this been, you know, projected onto me? And this is then just what I think.
Yeah. Do you think that that is a thing that you would recommend to any person in the entire world, or is that kind of a process that you went through as an artist, as a person who was exploring these boundaries? Do you push yourself to try these things and to see what is different, like trying things that you don't like just to see if you can find what is erotic about it? But is that something that you think would be helpful for everybody who does try to explore themselves and not just to fall into what they like?
I think there's different ways of exploring. For me, like as an artist, I express it in art. But whether that is, you know, questioning, like sitting down, having a journal, or going to a therapist or something, being like, I actually have, especially if you've got very strong hatred or negative reaction to something, you know, questioning actually why do I have this? Why do I think this? And especially if it's something like, example, with my body, regarding my body image, own body image, if I didn't like something on me, but if someone else had it, I thought it was damn sexy. So then that is something, you know, maybe I have to look within me and actually start doing some work on that. And everyone has a different way of doing work. Like, again, I put myself doing burlesque naked in front of 50 strangers. Like, that's definitely not something everyone wants to do, but that is just, for me, the way I do it. But recommend writing it down first of all for anyone.
Start there. Brainstorm yeah, start there. Before you jump in.
Exactly.
What kind of elements do you feel that you've pulled from sensuality and eroticism that you've brought into your work? And like, how would you say thematically that you embody that in your work?
Good question. Okay. How do you...
Like, are there maybe shapes or like textures or colors that you like to work with that really inspire you?
What inspires me, because I was actually talking to my partner the other day about this, and it's inspired by, you know, especially when you're intimate with whether that's yourself or someone else. I personally, you know, in my photography, I focus quite much on very close-up shots and very specific. And it's like, when you are intimate, whether that's with yourself or other people, I really focus, you really in that present moment, pinpointing whether it is, you know, feeling someone else's skin or you're feeling a specific, it's kind of very zoomed in rather than out. And I think this is something I wasn't aware is going on, but now thinking of it, looking at my art, I'm like, this is something that has definitely come from the experience of exploring intimacy and sex has come into how I represent or capture photographs. And I think also the playfulness of it, like, you know, I might have not tried it ever before, but what if I try this? You know, I took a photograph from this really weird angle and I've never seen myself on my coochie from that angle before. And I was like, wow, this is really nice. And I think as well, you know, it's easier, you know, especially if you are with a partner or trying with someone else might have, you know, I would like to try this. And you might not, exactly. And you might not be, it might not be something you thought about. And it's like, you know what? I want to try that. And that goes more in my artwork as well, being open to trying new things like burlesque or photograph, things from a weird angle.
Yeah,
so definitely a connection there.
Have you used sex as a format of finding photography? Like, have you done photography when you have been intimate with other people that have, like, you know, rather than specifically looking for images that might look erotic or look sensual in a way, have you gone into an intimate moment and then just explored from there and then found that there's some beautiful images that come from that?
Absolutely. I would like to say that that is the way I do my art. It's, there are photographers who have the concept, the set, the everything planned out. For me, it's more when I feel connected to, I'll come back to that specific questions with other people as well, but even with myself, it's when I feel called to connect to me and I don't know what will come out of it. I just make the environment, I have the camera and that, and I feel myself and I'm trying to just be comfortable and open-minded with myself in that present moment to allow whatever comes up, come up.
Right.
And I've had the pleasure to photograph another couple as well. And that was a beautiful experience. A more intimate moment between them, and that really made me realize like I would love to photograph other people as well. I've also had the moment to explore with my partner photography together, how just to see what comes between us and our dynamic, not knowing really what's to come, just having the lights, having that this is the intention, we want to have a moment. And whatever we capture is what it is. And sometimes that's why I don't like to say photographer, because I'm not focusing really too much on what is in focus or trying to capture that. Like my work is also a lot where I actually then crop into something that I felt at that moment afterwards, that this represents that feeling really beautifully.
Yes.
So it's a very intuitive with the flow. I don't have much planned, and that's how I like to do it sometimes, or majority of the time.
Yeah, that is a really interesting thing to mention, because as an erotic artist myself, or like I would consider myself to be an erotic artist, and I often have this conflict of like, am I making art? Am I like a photographer, or am I a video? Like, what am I doing that I'm a performer? What am I doing that is art? And I almost feel that the art is actually within the intimate moment, within maybe even sexual moment, where that is where this pure artistry comes from. That's where the inspiration comes from. And then it results in whatever kind of media comes from that. And then that feels like it has been an artistic moment, because it's like, it's not coming from me creating this image in my head or this like performance in my head. It's just from this innate connection to the sensuality. And that sounds very similar, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's why I had a bit of a problem, like, calling myself a photographer or not. And I think, like, I believe that sexual energy is creative energy. We can channel that into creating whatever. And of course, there is as well, you know, even with my burlesque, it was something that came to me. And then I also developed it, you know, putting in that thought into it and stuff. But I think art is, well, just, it comes intuitively to you, and you follow that flow, that creative urge to do something. Sometimes it might be a concept behind it. Sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes something comes to you and you then further develop. And that's why I like to call myself an artist, mixed media artist, whatever. Sometimes it might be, you know, a video. Sometimes it might be a dance. And right now, you know, even exploring movement and sound, you know, it is, I think artist is the easiest way of.
Yeah. And I absolutely love that title of being an erotic artist or a sensual artist, because you're capturing those moments and wherever it comes from, because there's so many senses that are engaged with sensuality, you know, sound, feeling, taste, touch, you know, everything is involved. And so when you say multimedia, it really is, because you're really approaching all of those senses. So really? I love that. I had a very random question that popped up when you were talking about taking these images that are close-up images. And I have noticed that feminine or feminine identifying people have a tendency to be more inclined to, or I don't even know if I should say feminine identifying, but As a woman, I feel that I'm more inclined to these close-up shots and these more like tracing the body kind of things. But when you look at porn, for example, from the perspective of men, it's very, very separate and very far away. Yeah. Do you think that is maybe related to femininity and masculinity, whereas maybe it's that men see sex from a different perspective? Or do you think that there's maybe a disconnect from sexuality? Or yeah, this is a big question, but
it's an actually really good one, because I love a good weird question, first of all. But this is something I've actually spoken to about when we did this photo shoot with my partner, where the images I wanted to take were very different than the ones he wanted to take of me, where it was I said, I do not want to have my face or my whole body in it. Like, it's not the same. Like, I don't want to be. But for me, it's like, but I don't know, again, if that is something deeper where I'm just like associated to, you know, porn, where it's the phase and the focus, where in the end, you know, as well, when I'm being intimate with someone, which goes back to what I said earlier on, it's focusing more on the feeling, the connection, rather than the whole being. I think it's easier to capture what I'm feeling when it's more specific into something rather than the whole. And it's a different feeling. It's so different, because I think even like when you are in that moment, you don't see it from that. You see it very close, someone's eyes or a specific, you know, go down or whatever, someone's hand, but you're not seeing anything. But if you see it from the kind of angle that photograph and form, like far away, it's like from the other person's perspective, where I kind of capture stuff from my own gaze, from what I see, and unless it's from a mirror or self timer, most likely it will be very close
what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And do you think that maybe the reason behind pornography being so detached is that men have a tendency to be a little bit further away from their partners when they're having a sexual experience, possibly? Or do you think that has nothing to do with it? Is it just a voyeuristic kind of...
could be, I don't know. It could also be, you know, this is what we usually see in porn. This is the majority of how people have seen. You don't see usually, like example, I love, 4chamber's work where it's usually as well very close and detailed shots and it's like, and somehow it's more tuned into the senses and specific things. When my, like, mass porn is like, it's further away.
It's very detached, almost.
Yeah. I feel it's more personal and more like it touches.
It's an internal. It's like
more intimate. Yeah.
Reflecting on the internal experience rather than this external kind of detached experience, right?
Oh, and that goes back to the feminine and divine feminine energy and divine masculine, where, you know, the feminine energy is the internal, the emotions. Meanwhile, the divine masculine is more the external thing. So I think it's a different way of seeing it. And it's very interesting.
So, in your own opinion, separate from society and separate from the influences that society might have on you, as best as you can do that, how would you personally define sex?
Sex? Without everything else, it's life. It's creative energy. It's an energy exchange. It's energy between yourself and whoever you decide to share that with. It is not like as society sees, you know, it being penetration or something like that. Like, no, I think it is an energy that you can experience for yourself, or then you can share it with others and experience something together with other people as well.
Do you feel in that case that it's more of a experience, like maybe happiness or an emotional experience or just an experience in general of any type, rather than a specific action?
100%. Yeah, for sure. I think in general, like, which has shifted before, you know, before in my head, you know, it was more of, you know, that it is a specific act already, you know. Do you like sex? And if someone asks that, it's like, do I like penetration? Most likely. And it's like, no, actually, it's so much more than that. And I think this is just like actually questioning again, what do I think it is, rather than, you know, what has society or people around me or made it to be, you know?
And what is your perception of what society says about sex as well? Because sometimes people have a different perception of what society is telling us. So I'm curious as to what you've learned that society is telling us.
I think where kind of where I grew up in and the environment I'm in, I'm in London, where self-expression and it's very kind of free, and, you know, the environment where I grew up in, where my parents always said about, they're quite open about talking about sex, or, you know, not that I wanted to talk to them about it, but they made a safe space in case I wanted to talk about it, I could. And also regarding, you know, sexual orientation, they were like, whatever, whoever you bring home, it's up to you. So I think also growing up, I never really thought about much about it. I just knew I had an interest in it. And what I think what I did notice moving then away from my close circle, and where we've always spoken about sex and intimacy and all of this quite openly, coming then to London, realizing that, holy crap, like, it isn't like this. And in many people's heads, it's like, oh, she's always doing something with sex in my work or my design. It's always sex-related. Oh, typical. And it's like, whoa, like, yeah, not everyone is equally open about it and willing to talk about it. And that's also okay. But I do think that talking to someone about it is essential, because again, I see sex as a part of ourselves, whatever that means to you, you know. But it is a side that I think we all should explore, in, you know, whether that is with a friend, with a therapist, or whatever, online with people, with strangers, whatever it is. But it's something we should not neglect and be scared of.
Do you feel that you were privileged in your upbringing around sexuality, you went into London and like really experienced this big change and this kind of shift in how people saw you?
100%. Like, I mean, it's, yeah, very lucky to, you know, where I grew up and with my parents, or even with my career being like,
more artistic, makes you, or...
Yeah, whatever makes you happy. Yeah. If it makes you happy, you know, of course, you know, when I then told my parents about me going into modeling and getting naked on the internet, they were concerned for my, you know, how will this affect my career? Will I be able to do these kind of jobs? And, you know, what about all the crazy people, you know? But I was like, there's crazy people and everything. But of course, you've got to be cautious and aware of this. But definitely being so lucky to have a family who supported, not saying that my mom is happy with me basically having my coochie online in the future, but you know, she doesn't understand why I'm doing it, but you know, she said she can learn to accept support. It and that, so I think that's a beautiful thing to be. Yeah. It definitely has influenced the way I do my art and have the courage to explore.
What are your views of how society sees sex right now, like in the general social culture as we see sex today, even after quarantine? How do you feel about it? Do you think that there are good things? Are there bad things?
I think we're more connected to it. People are getting more connected to it in the past than in the past 100 years, like, for sure. Like, it's, and you know, TikTok and social media and quarantine and everything, it's awakened something within society, and I think it's a great thing. And it's becoming less of a taboo, and people are really like, you and me, we are following our callings of you doing, hosting this beautiful space, me doing my art, whether that is art, podcast, or someone just sharing their thoughts with their friends. It's important to talk about all these things, and or then talk to them with yourself, you know. Being, you know, I think especially, I don't know if you're on TikTok, there's all the TikTok and people talking about what their desires are, or sharing about something they might have been ashamed of and realizing that it's absolutely normal. And I think that that's such a beautiful thing happening right now, and realizing that we are sexual beings, and everyone has their own definition of what is, what that is. But I feel like we're getting more connected to that side, which means we're getting more connected to ourselves on a deeper level. So I'm really happy about that.
Yeah. And do you have any conflicting feelings about how sex was perceived in the past, maybe even before quarantine, or 20 to 50 years ago, or even longer? Like, how do you feel about this history of sexuality in general?
I think in general, people, thinking it's shaming people so much for, if you are like, especially a woman who is connected to your sexuality, and you know, all the slut shaming, and somehow that you are not as so-called wife material, or you know, Madonna horror complex and all of this, like, it's, and I think that's why it's important to have like us talking here about it. It doesn't make us less professional. How does this make us less professional? But people still believe that, just because you're connected to your sexuality and express yourself in a way or another, that you are somehow not capable of something. And that I definitely don't agree with.
That's
why I am here with you now, and we're doing our work and sharing.
Yeah, that's definitely a frustrating thing I've experienced as well. You know, it was a choice for me to go into sex work, and it was a choice for me to do all of the things that I did. And I did it very intentionally. And I think we can both, you know, have an agreement that neither of us are unintelligent people. Like, neither of us could not do anything other than foot modeling or camming or whatever. But there's such a stigma to it that's like, oh, okay, well, you're doing sex work, so why are you doing sex work? Is it because you can't do anything else? Are you, you know, less intelligent? Or I find that there is a big stigma with sex work, and with people saying like, oh, you know, like, you're stupid for, you know, choosing that. Like, how, why, or how could you expose yourself like that? Yeah, absolutely. For me, it's like, I went into this to, just like you, explore my sexuality and overcome all of these things. And I think that for myself at least, it was one of the most intelligent choices I ever even made in my entire life. I mean, absolutely. You know, all of the things that came from it are really incredible. So I feel like when people say, oh, it's not professional or losing work, for example, like I have this concern too. Like, okay, what happens if I can't get a job that's, you know, not within the sex community?
Yeah.
Just because I've been a part of this. And I was like, well, what are we doing here having this conversation about sex? And like,
yeah,
I don't know. So yeah, I am with you on that. difficult experience to, or a feared experience.
Yeah, and I think also, especially like what you said, that we've gone intentionally into this, because there is the side of people where that people don't have another option. This is the only way of survival of doing this. And there is always the two sides of the thing. And also, mm-hmm. especially our brain liking to focus on the negative side is like, actually, you
or
know,
black and white.
It's black and white. And it's not like that. And that's why, you know, us, you having this podcast, us having these talks are, you know, essential and important for, I think, the way people just approach this whole topic of whether that is erotic art, sensuality, sex work, or anything in general regarding to those topics.
Do you personally feel that you have any conflicting feelings about sexuality or complex feelings, like through your experiences in life and
about my own
or in general? Yeah, both.
Well, for my own experience, I think regarding my sexuality and all this, it was something I never really thought about again, because I just knew I had this safe space, whatever, you know, whoever. You know, I thought I was straight for because I never really questioned it. Mm-hmm. I never questioned it. I wasn't influenced by movies. I that much, you know, I saw a bit of movies, but I had very strict rules about the media I consume, and so I didn't have a lot of that influence growing up. And it wasn't until, you know, I came to London and people started asking me, I had to say this and this, and even applying to university in some of the things, I had to put my sexuality or sexual orientation in, and I was like, what is this? Like, and I was like, then I sat down and was like, wait a minute, like, yeah, how far to, I never really thought about those things. And that is a matter for me, not even have to think about it until the moment presents themselves. But, yeah, I think the thing that evolves constantly, it's a fluid thing that for myself that just evolves as I evolve and I discover, you know, again, it's multiple doors and it just keeps on evolving. You know, I might say something different next time we have a talk, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Things are fluid, moving always.
Yeah, everything is always changing. So maybe next year you'll be exactly. into something different.
100%.
Do you feel like any of that shows up in your work in a way? Like, not that you have any conflicting feelings, but anything that has been influenced in your life as to questioning maybe, or.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there is a lot of work that I obviously don't share, and haven't. And there's a lot of stuff that, you know, even when I photographed these other couple or when I had a photo shoot with my partner or, you know, cause I'm exploring right now polyamorous relationships and the kind of like, I'm scared of, you know, because I think people like to put someone in a box and this is the kind of work they do, that's it. You are a sensual photographer, that's it. I'm like, no, like when I say, that's why I feel more comfortable saying right. sensual, mixed media artist,
yeah.
where whatever comes and go and it is, you know, if I suddenly want to go more into, right now I've been exploring more of like a more gentle what sensuality means to me, but I have so much I haven't shared that is more literally what I find really erotic. Like it is mm-hmm. erotic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also okay to share, but I think people just expect one thing from a person and I find yeah. that quite hard. And even I expect like trying to put myself in a box, this is the art you do. And it's like, no, like who says that?
Yeah.
You can be and share what you want to do. Yeah. And, so that's kind of I'm struggling a bit, but we're learning as we go.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there should be a limit or a line between what is sensual and erotic and what is pornographic or explicit?
again, this is one of the things that you can't really control, like what the other someone, what I find erotic or pornographic. Obviously, there are like a thing, like certain ones you have seen in porn and this kind of stuff. But, you know, that's what I've learned through being a foot model is like, when I had my foot in the little casty thing or like was wrapped up because I injured it, someone find that extremely a big turn on. Do I find it as a turn on? No, but I was like, wow, you know, anything can be a turn on for whoever, you know? That's what I mean. So it's like.
Is it just how you represent it then, do you think? Or market it?
Yes, can be, you know, yeah. There are, like, example, if I do a thirst trap, I would say, you know, me being intentionally very sexual and seductive, there are times when I'm putting the intention that this is the feeling I want to convey, but someone could still find that, like, a massive turn off. So someone could find it a big turn on. That's what I feel at the moment, or how someone else conveys it. But, you know, again, example, go back to that video of me having that spit. Like, I thought that was really erotic. But someone else, there were a lot of people in the comment who were actually revolted by it. So it's like,
that's
what is it then, you know? Yeah,
it is quite interesting. I think I might have even mentioned this in maybe one of my other podcasts, that before I went into camming, before I went into any kind of sex work, I always felt extremely sexualized. And I never intentionally tried to put myself in a position where people were looking at me in a sexual way. And I actually went out of my way to repress my sexuality, to repress myself, because I didn't want to be a target for that. And there's a few, there's like multiple layers on that. You know, like one is not wanting to be a target for sexuality. Like, sexuality is a normal thing, and like, that's okay. And I have like accepted that fact that like people are going to get aroused by me, and that's okay.
But
it is, it's very factual that it doesn't matter what you do, somebody's going to find it arousing. Somebody's going to get off on it. And so that's where my mind really questions, like, when I do my sex work, so what they call sex work, sometimes I don't even feel like I'm doing sex work at all. I'm just like, I'm just, you know, as a, you know, doing domino work, it's like, I'm just making fun of people, like, you know, and they get off on it. And I'm like, okay, is this sex work or is it just, you know, finding the niche where people want to pay for what you're doing?
Yeah.
And that's always an interesting line to find. And also as an artist, you know, I've had work that I've created that I'm like, no, this is too explicit. I don't want to put this out. But then there's things that are more explicit, actually, that I'm like, oh, yeah, whatever. This is no big deal.
Yeah.
So do you find that with your work as well, that you have things that are quite explicit that you're just like, no problem, I'm just going to put that out there?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it depends, like, what topic, you know, if it's something I'm really, like, if it's something you might be insecure about, it might feel more, something, like, more personal or more explicit, or, and also, like, it's, again, sorry, personal something, you, like, I was surprised, example, how easy I had to strip naked doing the burlesque, but then something else that might, according to someone else, be a lot easier to do, I might find terrifying, you know, it's more explicit or more something. And I think this is changing a bit on the topic, what you said about, you know, being a, just you being you, being a target, being sexualized and all of that. I think that's a whole different topic in the sense of, you know, us being, according to society, beautiful people. And I used to hate people looking at me a lot because I didn't really want to be that. And it wasn't until then I went into burlesque and went into this work where I'm putting myself like, and I'll give you the permission kind of to look at me.
And I kind of now want I have you. the control.
Exactly.
Of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's been a whole interesting topic to look into. It's been interesting.
Yeah. And going back to what you said about, this insecurity and like sharing things mm-hmm. that are you're insecure about, and maybe it's not as explicit for somebody else. That is a really interesting point. Do you think that maybe sex or intimacy or sexuality or explicit content might have more to do with how intimate it is to an individual or how insecure an individual might be with such things?
Yeah, I think it's so, I think personal on to the viewer, you know, because for some people, for example, getting a blowjob can be more personal than actual penetration, for example. Mm-hmm. Or making out can be, but it's up to the person, like, up to the person what, and, you know, what experiences have they had, with this thing. And again, this is something that's so far away from black and white or this and that. It totally depends on the viewer. And, you know, even with the whole, again, going back to the spit image, I think that really made me think, like, is this again something that society and people just in general don't like, or do is this? I've never explored spit in general, but when mm-hmm. I did, you know, it was wow, like interesting. You know, I was genuinely shocked by my own reaction to it, and mm-hmm. I think that's why as well, like, erotic art and kink and this is a beautiful space to explore with yourself and other people of what you. Yeah, explore yourself.
Going beyond feet, are there any things that you found through your work that you discovered that were more inspirational to you and were more arousing to you just by having explored it through your work?
I think I like to see, like, maybe like a surprise one was, which I haven't shared, and I was kind of scared of even photographing. It was when I said when I had the setup with the backdrop and lighting, and I just bent over and photographed my coochie from behind, right? And I was like, whoa, like, I've never seen myself from that angle. And I also hadn't seen photographs of the female body like this before. Uh-huh. And I was like, why haven't I seen, like, if I saw this kind of photograph, I would be way more insecure about, you know, about, I have a birthmark in my inner ass mm-hmm. that you can see when I bend down, and I've been insecure about it for no particular reason, because I don't know, because people are not supposed to have a birthmark there. And, you know, when I saw it, I was like, wow. And I was like, imagine if people did this to themselves or had these photo shoots or where they could see their body from different angles and be like, see them from a more loving and beautiful perspective to be like, hey, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. Do you think that if people were to more openly share these kinds of photos or perspectives of themselves, that one, there would be less of a like stigma or fear about how each individual looks? Like, if you, maybe for example, if you had seen photos of vulvas, do you think that you would be less insecure about your own? Mm-hmm. And then going beyond that, do you think that if these things were more normalized and we saw them more often, if that would either create a less sexual society, or do you think that it would inspire people to become more sexual based on how accepting it is? Because, mm-hmm. you know, that I find that, you know, there's a lot of people that desensitize themselves to, you know, and maybe in sex addiction, for example, if you desensitize yourself so much to sex, then there's no inspiration for it anymore. Mm-hmm. So maybe, could it go in either way?
It could. Well, I think personally, like, if I would have seen more, if I was a Tumblr teenager, where I think many people, especially that's where a lot of women got their first porn, whatever, was gifts and all of that, and you know, the representation of the female body, and especially boobs. And I don't think I saw a lot of vulvas there, which definitely, you know, and also like the bodies and boobs I saw on Tumblr was the Tumblr body, the body I wanted, the body majority of women maybe wanted. And so in one stage, I told myself when I started doing my work, it's like, I create the art I wish I saw. Mm-hmm. The art I wish I saw growing up, whether that is, you know, the female body, the male body, any body in general, the human body, from these, in these Tumblr photo styles, you know. I don't want no, atomic, oh my god. Anatomy.
Anatomical?
In Swedish. Yes, yes. Okay. I want to see artistic photographs of different human bodies.
Yeah.
And also, like, in any sort of perspective, in different perspectives, because, like, that photo I took of my vulva from behind, that wasn't, I didn't have the intention of, like, I wasn't sexualizing myself at all in that thing. It was just, like, very arty photo in itself.
Mm-hmm.
And if I would have seen that photo growing up, I would have been, or someone else, for example, I would have been like, whoa. It's really beautiful to see just a different body, a vulva. Mm-hmm. That's it. And it doesn't straight away make it like people being super hypersexualized. It's just like seeing a human body. And I think only because we only usually see the naked human body in the connection to porn, it automatically is
over-sexualized. Sexualized, yeah.
Exactly. And I think the environment, you know, I grew up in as well, where the naked body, like, I've seen all my friends pretty much naked in Finland. And this is a norm, because you go to the sauna naked. You go to the sauna naked.
It's quite normal culturally.
Yeah, it's very normal. Like, you go for a swim naked, like, of course. So even just this, like, it's not a sexual thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even, like, when I did had my OnlyFans, I had a lot of Americans who came and spoke to me about, like, just curiosity about, like, the nudity and how, you know, is it weird to go to a sauna naked with your friends? And, like, no, it isn't. It isn't.
Not
know?
At all.
No. You can, it can be a sexual experience if it is between two, like, a consensual way you agree on it being a sexual experience. And it's like, just being there as a human being, being naked in the sauna is not a sexual act in itself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so answering your question, I think that it would be better for us as a society if we would see more of these different artistic representations of the human body. Yeah.
That does make me wonder, and just as a thing to ponder is, you know, like, there's so many cultures that, you know, want to cover. It's more modest, and they don't even think of it as like maybe hiding people because they're over-sexualized, but they do just hide their bodies, and they find that the less that they show, the more that they protect. So do you feel that there is some place in the world for, how would I even say that? Not withholding, but like protecting certain aspects. And I think maybe even in modern day, you could call it like a paywall, for example, between, you know, people who want to have non-sexual and sexual content. Mm-hmm. Like, do you feel like there is a place for that? And does that support or hinder the progress that we might see?
Yeah, no, I think that definitely should, you know, it's everyone's
prerogative.
Did you mean everyone's choice? Yeah, if they feel like it. Like, like I said, we felt called to do this publicly, to go into sex work or to do this. So, but someone might just want to explore within themselves and don't want to, you know, whether they want to wear and have more covering up clothes. And, you know, it's, again, it's a hard one, though. It is a hard one, you know, where do you pull the line, for example, then on like social media platforms? Would you then have a selected, like, a thing where you can choose if you want to see a certain type of content or you don't want to see? But I think this is more like where we should have a choice, where kind of, no, we don't really have a choice. It's like straight away anything to do with, you know, if someone wants to share a bit more, it's just like bad, I think.
That's actually quite interesting, because as a cam model, it's like every girl does their own thing. Every girl mm-hmm. chooses what she wants to do, and every girl chooses like what is too much for her and what is not. So there's a big conversation about boundaries when it comes to this. Mm-hmm. And I find that quite interesting because, for example, on OnlyFans, some people don't post erotic content or like sexual content even mm-hmm. in their paid views. And so yeah. it's like, it's kind of like whatever is personal to you and you want to hone and you want to hold to yourself
mm-hmm. yeah,
is kind of what should be not explicit, but like whatever you want to call that, what would you even call that? Like, it's personal, it's intimate.
So personal,
like,
intimate, yeah, yeah, intimate. And intimacy can be whatever, you know, like when I had my OnlyFans, I shared the uncensored photos of, I mean, I did explore a few things, like in the foot running, I had like self-worship and realized that that wasn't really my thing, I didn't like mm-hmm. that. And in the end, I was then sharing these more process of my art where I was naked, didn't have to worry about having it censored or not. And mm-hmm. whoever felt called to follow me there came there, you know, that's mm-hmm. it. This is what I wanted to do, but really being okay and respecting, you know, if someone wants to, you know, do camming or show, have their whole rule that out and whatever you want to do, that's up to them.
Yeah.
And everyone needs to find what you are comfortable doing with and respect others for that.
Yeah, I find that that's problematic because there is a tendency for people to not even realize that they can choose.
Yeah.
For example, they can decide, okay, this is too much for me. And I see that also a lot in the work that I do, that it's very like, oh, this is sex work, so I should be doing this.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's a lot of people that just throw all of this stuff out there and then, everybody can see it. But that's yeah. digressing, of course. But
yes,
it is a problem, you know, where we can't, it's very hard to define, I suppose.
Yeah, and that's why it's good to have, you know, people who can talk about it because, yeah, I tried and realized I didn't like the self-worshipping part. And I was like, okay, I don't have to do it. And I already, from the beginning, knew like degrading is not for me. But mm-hmm. the fact that someone else wants to do it doesn't make them a bad person at whatsoever. Just because yeah. I don't like to do it doesn't mean, you know.
Yeah.
So it's really, I think, being more understanding and open-minded to other ways of looking at things and perspectives.
And maybe more, even more in tune with a personal
yeah.
part of that. Like, what is okay with you? And like doing that internal absolutely. Work to see what is okay with you.
Yeah, and it's okay to change your mind. That's also the yeah. main thing. It's absolutely okay to change your mind. Yeah.
Do you think that there is a huge problem? I mean, this is kind of an obvious question even, but with with society sexualizing everything.
Mm. Mm.
And like, you know, how does that impact, I don't know, maybe your work or yeah. society as a whole?
Mm. Mm. I love analyzing. I guess that's a part of my job as a brand designer as well. But I've been analyzing a lot on TikTok. And there is a fine example where you see things being over-sexualized. Like anything, like...
It's a big draw, right?
Yeah. And I've noticed myself being like seeing something like... People are intentionally doing these thirst straps, and you know, whether it's a man, like a man's hand, you can see the veins suddenly really, and people are like, oh my god, like really hypersexual, sexual in the comment section, everything. It is, there's some things that are good at, okay, people are becoming more aware that, okay, this turns me on, okay, but you know, then there are some places where people are being sexualized where they really don't want to be sexualized.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where someone, like, I think there is a, what does he do? I think he's a programmer and people are really being like, over sexualizing him in places where he's not even asking for it or wanting, like, she's not making thirst straps in that sense and, portraying themselves in that light. There is good and bad sides to this. I don't really know what the bad side, like, how will this affect,
I mean, yeah, maybe it just affects individuals on a
exactly.
personal level.
But then people have as well, who don't want to be sexualized in their TikTok. I've noticed how they put, you know, pin these posts where they say that, you know, as much as I know that you're not coming, it's not a bad thing, like what you're trying to say, but I would appreciate if you would, you know, not do this. Or so people are more aware of their boundaries and expressing them to people on social media, which I love. And as well, you know, through our Instagrams, and, you know, sometimes you can say that no DMs in my inbox, like don't say this. And I think people in the end, not everyone, but people are open to respecting boundaries if you just put them there.
Yeah, that's true. That's an interesting point, actually, that there's so many, for example, there's so many people that say, this is a sexual channel, or like, you know, this is adult content. Only enter if you are an adult, or like if you want to see this sexualized content. But there's no like protection of like, hey, this is not a sexual room. Like, please don't enter unless you can refrain from being, you know, sexualizing this content. Because I know that there are a lot of people, and you know, I'm a massage therapist as well. So there's a ton of people who do sexual massage, which in the past I would have been like, no, sexual massage, that's not okay. But now I'm just like, whatever. But it's interesting that you know, it's like there are certain places where it would not be appropriate to have a sexual environment, and that it should be more explicitly stated in a way like that nobody does that. And I think that is an okay thing to be able to do, is to assert those boundaries and say, hey, this is not sexual.
Whatever. And that's what I noticed when I did the footwork, which I thought was genius, is like people have saved in their highlights kind of the rules of, you know, these are my rules on my page, you know, do not do this or don't do that. And if you want to, you know, pay me for this, or just putting out your boundaries. And that's, you know, people, you know, read them. And if you don't read them, block them.
Yeah.
Like, I block so many people as well. It's like, it's okay. And, you know, if it would be a good idea to have those things a bit more, to have those, you know, because there's a space, a time and space for everything. And, you know, maybe if sex work wouldn't be such a taboo and people have their strong opinions about it, like, you know, if someone really wants to have someone praise you, or someone, you know, wants to, I don't know, there are places for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, are people educated about this? No, they're not, you know, people are not educated like about these amazing opportunities that there are, you know, getting contact with a sex worker. If you want a sensual massage or a sexual massage, there, erotic massage, there are people out there.
Yeah.
So, you know,
there's so much that I want to say about that. There's so many directions that you could go with. I mean, it's so interesting, because here's just like a short story. I heard from a friend that there is on Pornhub a person who is teaching math classes.
Okay.
And they don't do anything sexual. They just present their math classes. And the only reason that they do this on Pornhub is it's because it's the most watched website, like the most viewed streaming platform that you could possibly go on to.
Yeah.
And there's also, you know, Twitch is kind of coming up in the streaming community as well. And there's this thing that's been happening where people will they banned bathing suits, and people are now specifically going into hot tubs and streaming in hot tubs so that they can be in their bathing suits, because Twitch was becoming almost a thing where it was like where I work on MFC, where they basically were doing everything they possibly could that was not sexual, like, you know, in quotations, not sexual, but pushing the boundaries to that point where they were sexualizing themselves to get attention. They were sexualizing themselves to get this like traction. So I don't know. I mean, just with all of that combined, it's a fascinating thing for me to see that on a platform that is not sexual, people are sexualizing it. And then on a platform that is sexual, people desexualizing it. And people want to see sex, apparently. I guess that's...
Sex sells.
You know, whatever sex is, it apparently just sells. And
It's an energy. It is an energy, you know? You can, example with math, you can be fully dressed, fully clothed. You could be, the way you're using your voice, you could be sexy. You could be.
If you just catch into somebody who's in that mood.
And, in the right way. I really enjoy, like, I get on when someone teaches and talks about something passionate. It's quite hot, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe, again, we don't know. And it's an interesting one because, like, yeah, sex does sell. And even on TikTok and all, like, you know, when you look good, when you put your makeup on, when you get into that energy of feeling yourself, other people feel it. And, you know, your engagement is higher and you're just like, for fuck's sake, like, I kind of don't want to sexualize myself, but when I do and when I, so it's like, I guess on my own terms, like, sometimes I do want to feel hot and, like, you tell me that I look hot and I'm very sexy, like, but then I, you know.
Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't.
Sometimes you don't, you know?
Yeah.
Interesting, that Pornhub one.
Mm. Yeah. In kind of a short statement, how would you define kind of the story of your life? And, like, maybe how it relates to sexuality and the influences that you've had? And
yeah. Okay. Good question. Let's go to the beginning. As a, let's say, a curious child, oldest of three siblings, I've always, and also I've been the most introverted of, I've been the extroverted group of friends, but the most introverted of them, which is always, I've been in very extrovert situations. And I tend to throw myself into these situations. Like, growing up, I was very kind of considered shy, but I always never, I knew that deep inside I'm not. And I really didn't know how to express myself, you know, kind of, I would say I was a quite frustrated artist, trying to find something. And I think the sign that I was searching always, and I think many other people searching for, is searching for themselves. And when I started to intentionally, you know, I following that calling and you know, moved out of Finland, I had a lot of like, oh, I don't like living here. I don't like this. I don't like that. You know, I can't be who I want to be. You know, if you change, you know, I think as a society, people see change as a bad thing. So I think that is what I had in my head as well. People not accepting change, you know. I am shy and that's how I am forever. Mm. And when I came to London, then I made a promise to myself to really be what I be. In 2015, that's the thing I made. To leave behind. No one knows who I am in this new country. Let me fake it till I make it. And, you know, 2015 is when I put my burlesque onto that, my bucket list. Because I knew that that would awaken something within me. And now I just did it a few weeks ago. And it was, like I said, it was a funeral of my past self. And here I am now. And I think it's my life story has been me searching for myself in art and intimacy. I've always been interested in sex in general as well. And now looking back, I can see how that has gone throughout every single project, the human form, the human shape, emotions, sex, pleasure. And now, after my burnout of trying to find and hold on to uni and everything, I crashed and burned and reflected. And here we are now, after spiritual awakening and finding myself, as cringy as that might sound to people, here I am now, and I'm expressing it through art.
And how would you kind of, in a non-sexual way, maybe not completely rejecting sexuality, but not necessarily in a sexual way. How would you identify yourself? I mean, you're from Finland. You maybe, do you consider yourself cisgendered, feminine? Do you, just so our audience knows exactly, like, where you find that you fit into the world, if you can, you know, that's a really hard question because identity is like so flexible, but how would you identify?
If I ignored everything you said and just asked, if I just answered the question how I would identify myself as, I would identify myself as a soul having a human experience. I'm having, I happen to be in a female body. The main energy I operate from is from the divine feminine. We all have feminine and masculine energy. I'm attracted to human beings. It doesn't matter what your genitalia is, what your, if only requirements within energy is that you operate, have a bit more masculine energy, that tends to work with me. But beyond that, that's where I like to,
how you like to identify. Do you find that your identity has impacted you in a way that people see you differently in a sexual context, or over-sexualize your work, or desexualize you, or anything like that? Do you think that that's impacted the world and how the world sees you?
To be honest, I feel like, you know, going back to where I said in my growing up, I was very sexualized. And slut-shamed for no reasons whatsoever, fake rumors. And it was really bad where strangers in town would, you know, have heard the rumors that that's the girl, and then fucking slut screamed to me in the street. And that really, oh my gosh, I just lost my train of thought. Your question was, how has, what was it?
How has your identity been influenced? Yeah. Or it has influenced your...
Yeah, my art. Okay, so in that, yeah, it wasn't until, so I had all that background, I have a lot of hate from people, I had my blog and everything, and it wasn't until I then created Etheria and kind of was proud of who I claimed back my power, so-called, then I realized people really respected me. These people who had slut-shamed me in the past or called me names on being, you know, who the fuck about me, they've come and apologized to me. They now look up to me. They follow me all on my account. And they, you know, usually people who hate on someone else, there might be something they hate about themselves internally and they just project it onto someone else. But I think people, I'm surprised on how well people have taken it. My,
received your work, yeah.
Yeah, and I am a lot less sexualized than I was before. Even I'm naked irony. On the internet. Yeah, the I don't irony, know. Right? The irony, whatever you do, it's
do you, yeah. Do you think that your experience would have been different if you had been given a male body, or if you had been a different race, or if you had been a different sexual orientation or religion or anything?
Yeah. Of course. Every, what I believe, like everyone has their own experiences and own things they cope with, you know, even that, everything depends on the time you're born, the family, even with siblings, you know, my brother will have a totally different experience than I have, you know, everyone's experience is unique and everyone will have their own trauma and own things they, how they see something and own things that need to be healed, and this is just the, what I share is what I've experienced, and there might be someone who has experienced something similar, but no one in the world will have experienced what anyone else has experienced. It's to the core essence of every single thing.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah.
It doesn't really matter what the disadvantages are, different. But yeah, it would be different anyways.
It would be different. And I mean, I've grown, like I said, again, I've had a very, I still have, I'm very privileged, background and here now, and that's why I also like I feel extra called, like my soul is like I want to share like this, I want to talk about my to be able to. I have a privilege to talk about this. My parents don't know this. They're not going to disown me as a child doing this. But not everyone is in the situation where, you know, they can come out and be safe and you know, but someone who is in a safe environment to be able to do it. So I feel it's, I feel called to educate myself and to share where I can.
Yeah. That's incredible. Is there anything that you want anybody, any listeners, well, and just anybody in the world to learn, one, from what you're doing, and also two, to learn from what we're talking about on this podcast? It's a big question. I know.
it's a big question, but this is, it's a very good question, and I can nail it down. The one thing a few things I want to say is, these things, you know, all these cringy things people find very cringy. It's all true, you know. I love every single person in this world. It's hard to believe that, but our core essence, you know, we are all connected. And when we connect and truly look into ourselves and look into everything about ourselves, look into, you know, look into our childhood, the way we react to situations, the way we react to intimacy, sex, conflict, relationships, like, look into that and understand yourself. We kind of, the one friendship we neglect is the relationship we have to ourselves, and that affects everything. It affects everything. I used to hate myself. Oh my God. I used to hate myself. And then when I learned to say, I love me. Oh, I used to look into a mirror in the morning, say my affirmations, you know, I love me. Oh, like, I would cringe. I'm like, who am I? And now it's transformed my life. It's easy. Of course I love myself. And it's not selfish to say that. Look within and, you know, be the change you want to see. Seriously, that's it. And
it's so, yeah, it's so interesting how when you do have a difficult time with loving yourself, you go into the mirror and you're just like, I don't want to say that. Yeah, I don't want to say that at all. I've experienced that too. And it's the same. It's like now that, like, I feel comfortable and I feel that I love myself also, I'm just like, yeah, cool. Like, I love myself, whatever.
Yeah, like, no biggie.
It's not actually a stupid thing to say. It's just normal. And yeah, once you do truly love yourself, it doesn't feel awkward or uncomfortable.
No, and you can then love other people truly for who they are. And that's it. And that's with my art. I am learning to love my body and love myself as I'm expressing myself. And I hope that, you know, whoever watches it and looks and or listens to us talk, will something will awaken. Always take what resonates, and maybe they will find something within themselves that will make life for them more smooth. You know, like you said, when you find your thing, things tend to fall into place.
Yeah.
You know.
Are there three tips or things that you would say would be helpful for people to do?
Ooh, do you think? Like, I would say, like, a little homework, if I would say, would be like,
give people homework.
Tell them what to do. Yes, love that. See, that's where I'm like, maybe I could go into sex, but I love telling people what to do. Like,
right?
Yeah. Is, three things is A, get a journal.
Mm-hmm.
Get a journal. Like, I used to be so against it until I then did it, and I was like, oh, I see. Get a journal. It doesn't matter what you put in, just write into there. You might say that, you know, just how you're feeling or what something made you feel, and just
it's kind of like materializing it.
Exactly. That's one thing. Number two is what I used to do as well before I started sharing my stuff publicly. You don't have to share publicly, but create a folder for yourself called whatever, nudes for yourself. That was what I had. And it was like, when I was feeling hot, I was like, yeah, like, I didn't have anyone to send it to, but I took it for myself. And I was like,
kind of a sanctuary, like, right?
Yeah.
For your own experience.
Exactly. And if you can't say that you love yourself, like, read into that, work towards that, like, put that as your next goal for 2022. I think that was my goal for 2019, to be able to say I love myself. And within 2 months, only because I journaled this, when I went back, I was like, oh, I actually can say this now. And it took me only 2 months to be able to, like, do that. But it's putting an intention, what I want to do, and then taking action towards it. And it might be uncomfortable. So we've got to embrace temporary uncomfortableness to be able to grow.
Yeah. But even 2 months is like, wow, just after 2 months of like journaling, it's like, that's incredible. It doesn't take that long when you really put your mind to it.
Yeah. And of course, there are days that, you know, the self, I might not feel like I love myself, but it's also okay. There are days that come like that, and it's, there are good and the bad days, but journaling really truly, changed my life. And, journal the way that you feel like journaling, like whatever language, whether it's drawing. It took me 3 years to film my first one, and then it took me a year after that. So it's also up to you how much you do it. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Etheria. It was really, really such a wonderful pleasure to have you and to speak with you. And I'm so happy that I can share your perspective with whoever ends up listening to it, because I think it's so important in the world to have people who are really just supporting sensual exploration and just exploring themselves, even in a non-sexual context. So
yeah,
again, thank you so much for joining us. And yeah,
thank you for having me. It's been amazing for me as well, you know, talking about this, like hearing about, I wish I heard a bit more about you, but I'll probably hear it some other time. But like, it's a great thing to, for myself as well, to talk these things out loud and sharing. And always, you know, I hope whoever is hearing this, hope something awakens within you, whatever that is. And hope you connect, everyone connects to themselves on a deeper level. And
Thank you so much.
Thank you, viewers, for joining us today. As a parting thought, I really want to give my great appreciation to Etheria for her support in this project. I couldn't have made such a big leap of faith with our erotic mind if it wasn't for her support. The world thrives in social support, and I hope that this inspires others to reach out and make connections and to support each other. Thank you so much, Etheria, and thank you, listeners, for listening. Huzzah!